This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Feels like that these days, what he's been singing. I don't know. It's kind of bad news all around right now. Good morning. Welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. We hope to get you up and optimistic. I am Paul Molloy, along with my buddy Big Ed Davis. Thank you for joining us. It is Friday, March the 4th. We are going to be talking in a few minutes with Joe Cirincione of the Quincy Institute. And we're going to talk about how he thinks Russian President Putin has taken the safety cap off his nuclear weapons, and whether or not we are in for some very, very, very dangerous moments. So stay tuned for that. Speaking of that, Russia captures the Ukrainian nuclear power plant, while Nancy Pelosi says yes, yes, to shutting down our purchase of Russian gas. Did you hear that yesterday? She made no bones about it. We're going to talk about this. And also the ongoing attempt to find Donald Trump guilty of financial fraud with the proprietor of the barber pole, a little bit later in the show, Andrew Ceraci. And we had some good news with job numbers. Employment numbers are up more so than they expected in February. But here's the question. Will it help inflation? You know, lowering inflation and stocking our store shelves, is that going to help us with more people working? We're going to take a look. And, you know, oil is on the mind of everybody right now, maybe more so than just about ever. We are going to take a look at the top 10 largest oil exporting countries. So stay tuned for that as well. By the way, Freedom Works. We are sponsored in part by Andrew's Master Barbershop. Guys, the best haircut anywhere in Tampa Bay for sure is at the Dunedin location of Andrew's Master Barbershop. They are in the Overcash Plaza on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580 Main Street. Call for your appointment, please. That way, when you come in, you know, right into the chair, huh? 727-733-3773. Well, you know, every day you wake up, and of course it's 7 hours later for those of us here on the Eastern time zone. It's 7 hours later in Ukraine. So right now it's what? About 5 p.m.? It's going to get dark fairly soon, and then all hell seems to break loose. Russian forces last night took control of Europe's largest nuclear power plant after their attack on the site sparked a fire and fears of a nuclear meltdown. But so far, fortunately, no radiation leakage, according to what they are saying. This is called the Zaporizhia plant. It's in the southeastern portion of Ukraine. The fire has been extinguished, at least that's the latest on it. But now they control a goodly percentage of the power that goes to the Ukrainian homes and businesses and factories and everything else. And bomb shelters, I guess, and basements in this instant. Meantime, world condemnation of Vladimir Putin. You know, he's shutting himself off, I think, from listening to it. The guy is, if you ever see any pictures of him talking to people, do you notice now? He sits at a table that's about three blocks long, and he puts the other guy at the other end. Now, if that isn't some sort of Freudian thing, I don't know what is. There's something very, very deeply disturbing about this guy. And whether or not he really wants to take back all the Baltic states after Ukraine, you know, do you think he's going to do that? I don't know. I'm not sure exactly what he's going to do. Maybe he doesn't, in his own mind, really know. I don't know that he expected the condemnation he's received all around the world now. And when they finally start shutting down the purchase of Russian oil, and all of these different countries are starting to do that, even Nancy Pelosi is favoring it. The chief spokesman for the Democrats, right? She said she supports banning all Russian oil to the U.S. Quote, I'm all for that. Ban it. She said that at a press conference yesterday at the Capitol. So what's Biden going to do, right? We're going to ban the oil? And, of course, you're getting the hue and cry of opening up the pipelines, Keystone Pipeline, opening up the fracking, opening up the oil continental shelving areas for more drilling. You hear Jen Psaki, the White House press secretary, she tries to make the excuse that, well, why aren't the energy companies, we got all kinds of licenses out there for them. Why aren't the energy companies going after all of the oil that we've granted permits for? Which is a little bit of a sneak attack, because if you dig down deep, you find out, first of all, when you are granted permits, you know, there's only a small percentage of the permits when you're granted the permits to drill that you're going to find any oil. They've shut down all kinds of areas for drilling, and the permits are not going to be helping that much. Plus, they over-regulate everybody when you go and get the permits. So you got two things going on. You got permits that you're not sure there's oil, and then you've got the regulations that it's a turnoff for these energy companies to go and spend the money. So the truth is that the Democrats definitely want to slow down the use of fossil fuels. There's no question about it. And you think Biden is going to jump on board now? Well, he might have to. If we shut down taking that oil from Russia, we've got to go look for it somewhere else, because we are still importing oil. Does that mean we go to Saudi Arabia or the UAR and beg them to sell us more oil? I wonder, in about a month and a half, I wonder what the pump price of oil will be. I mean, I'm afraid to go look at it right now. I think it must have jumped another 15 cents in the last couple of days. I'm not absolutely positive on that, but it's going up. Anyway, we are going to take our break, and when we come back, Joe Cirincione will join us from the Quincy Institute. We're going to talk about Putin lifting that safety cap off his nuclear weapons.
I kissed her, she kissed me. Like the fella once said, ain't that a kick in the head?
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Guys, a well-groomed appearance is the first thing people will notice about you after a stop at the best barbershop in Tampa Bay. Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin is that very place, and they've specialized in the art of men's haircutting for decades. They're located in the Overcash Plaza, just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive. Andrew's Master Barbershop, open Tuesday through Saturday. Just call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
caregivers find the support they need on Connecting Caregivers Radio with Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for the caregiver. Heard every Friday from 1 to 2 p.m., Linda and her caring and knowledgeable guests will bring you education, information, and resources, as well as a shoulder for caregivers. That's Connecting Caregivers Radio with Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for the caregiver, where you can find help and hope every Friday from 1 to 2 p.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back on Freedom Works on a Friday. We thank you so very much for joining us. And we are delighted to have Joe Cirincione join us. He is a distinguished fellow at the Quincy Institute. He's a national security expert. He has authored a couple of very important books relevant to what we're going to talk about: Nuclear Nightmares, Securing the World Before It Is Too Late, and Bomb Scare, The History and Future of Nuclear Weapons. Joe, welcome to Freedom Works.
Thank you for having me on. Pleasure to be here.
I wish we were talking about something else, Joe. This is very, very, very disturbing, but this is about taking the safety cap off the nuclear gun. And we're worried about Vladimir Putin. We're worried about his state of mind, whether or not the guy is really off the wall. And look, he's got more nuclear weapons in his country, I believe, than any other country. So we got a tinderbox going on in the Ukraine. So let's talk a little bit about what he may or may not do. Now, neither one of us can look into his head, Joe, but you are an expert on nuclear weapons. What are the chances? What are the chances that a nuclear weapon might be detonated during this conflict?
I think the chances of nuclear use are very low, but they are not zero, and that should terrify us. It's clear that Putin is brandishing these nuclear threats. They have been part and parcel of his story from before the invasion, during the invasion, with the events last night of attacking a nuclear power plant that continues this nuclear theme. I'd be worried. I have been tracking these issues for many, many years, and this is the closest the U.S. and Russia have come to nuclear war in decades. Just for example, this statement that he made raising the nuclear alert level in Russia to what he called special combat status. We don't know exactly what that means, but Russia has never raised the alert level before. You have to go back to the 70s to see an incident where the United States raised the alert level, 1973. Richard Nixon did it during the Yom Kippur War and his impeachment hearings. But that shows you how unusual it is to do this. And what we think it means, and it's still unclear, is that basically in the constant level of alert that Russian forces are on, they cannot transmit a launch order. They're physically blocked from transmitting a launch order, and that's a safety measure, kind of like having the emergency brake on. You can't get the system to go, so it avoids an inadvertent or accidental launch order. And he appears to have now raised that level and taking that connected the wires here, basically taking the safety off the nuclear gun. So this raises two risks. One, that you could get an accidental or unintended launch order transmitted through that. And two, that Putin is serious about using a nuclear weapon. And there are Russian doctrines that are called escalate to de-escalate, which indicate that Russia would use a nuclear weapon if they thought they were losing the war. And they would use this as a signal to the West to back off.
Wow.
That this was serious to them and that you should proceed no further. Unfortunately, in most war games I'm familiar with on nuclear exchanges, once a nuclear exchange starts, it almost never stops. It is very difficult to stop a nuclear war once you start it. So that set of concerns is what we have to watch and track and make sure that whatever happens in this Ukraine war, Putin doesn't feel so desperate that he wants to bring the whole house down.
Well, I mean, then you can't win. I mean, if Ukraine starts turning the tide and the war goes the other way for whatever reason, You're saying that that Putin might think twice, maybe about pulling a nuclear weapon out of the closet, using it?
That's exactly right, and this is a scary part. If he's facing defeat, his instinct is to escalate, and there's a doctrine that says, yes, that's a good instinct. You should escalate.
Wow.
You know, it's like a gambler losing their money at the table and saying, okay, I'm going all in because I'm going to win on this next hand.
We're talking with Joe Cirincione from the Quincy Institute. He is a national security expert, authored two books about nuclear weapons. And I'm going to ask you something, Joe, about if you know whether or not there's any kind of fail-safe chain of command in Russia. I mean, if Putin wakes up on the wrong side of the bed, can he order a nuclear strike? Or do they have some sort of, no, you can't do that. You know, he's got to go through a series of steps. There are other people involved. Do you know anything about how that might work?
Yeah, it's a very good question. And in the United States, that is exactly how it works. The president and the president alone has the authority to launch nuclear weapons, and no one can countermand his order, and he doesn't need anybody else's approval, not the Secretary of Defense, not the Vice President, not the Congress, nobody. He can just do it anytime he wants. And in Russia, it's a little unclear, because while the president, our president, is followed around by a military officer with the nuclear football, this briefcase full of launch codes and communications instructions, in Russia there are three nuclear footballs. One follows Putin, one follows the Minister of Defense, and one follows the generals in charge of the general staff. And it's unclear if all three of them have to agree before a launch. Because that used to be the case, but it's unclear what's happened as Putin has consolidated his authority and become more the supreme autocrat that he is today. And even if it was technically the situation, would the Minister of Defense refuse Putin's order? Would he disagree with him? Would Putin just shoot him if he did and replace him with his deputy? So the whole thing is very unclear. It shouldn't be, right? Something as serious as ending the world shouldn't be this unclear, but that is the situation we're in right now.
Well, that's pretty scary. So we really don't know. I would think the way things look right now with Putin, he's a complete, despot. He's running everything, it seems like. Almost like what's going on with the leader of North Korea, where everybody around him is yes men. And they're afraid to say the wrong thing because, like you just said, they might shoot them. So here we are.
You saw how he treated his staff in that famous video conference before. It was videoed. You know, he was there in the room and he had all his.
He berated the guy.
Military official. Exactly. And that's when basically nothing is on the line. This is just his normal operation. You know, I'm not qualified to diagnose his mental state. Is he a megalomaniac? Is he detached from reality? But people who follow him closely are warning us that he appears more unstable than he ever has been. There are reports of him shouting and yelling in frustration in recent days. So, you know, I don't mean to be an alarmist, but when you state the facts, they are alarming. And especially if he starts losing this war, and he might feel that he's losing his power position, and that Russia is crumbling behind him, not just his forces crumbling in front of him. And he might feel he has nothing to lose, and he might issue the orders. He might ask his generals, is Kyiv burning?
Well, what about the Russian people? Now, the pressure from Russian people themselves, who, despite the best attempts, I would suspect, to keep the truth away from them, especially the younger Russians, who are so used to the internet and, you know, quite savvy about getting information from the internet. Do you think that might be our best defense, is the people themselves in Russia stopping this guy, seeing what's really going on in the Ukraine?
You know, it's interesting you should say that. Yes, I do believe that. And in fact, many experts are hoping for some kind of palace coup. Now, I should caution that the oligarchs in Russia are not like the royal court, that somehow Putin needs their approval to do things. It's the other way around. He really is a supreme autocrat. He made them their billions, and he's got them under pretty strict control. But if the Russian people continue to protest this war the way they have been, very bravely, thousands, the last time I heard it was 6,000-7,000 people have been arrested in protest. I don't know about you, man, but I would not want to get arrested.
Not in Russia.
Right? Right. And so yet they are. Yet they are doing that. And you can see that and as much as he tries to control the information flow, the news is getting out. I just saw a wonderful little Twitter account of an older Russian woman talking on the phone on a bus to her friend in Ukraine, and then she puts the phone on speaker, and you can hear a woman screaming as shells start coming in and tank rounds start whistling by, and everybody in the bus was completely quiet, rapt, listening. So people have not just their social media accounts, but their friends are in Ukraine. And so there is a lot of information coming out. It appears that the Russian people are aghast by what they're seeing. The general staff didn't know Putin was going to do this. So this took everybody by surprise. So that is our basic hope, that his support starts to crumble and he decides to cut his losses before it's too late.
You know, another thing is the army itself that he sent into the Ukraine, reports are out that they thought they might be going in and being welcomed by the Ukrainians, and come to realize that when they go in there, you know, their lives are at stake. There are some estimates, several thousand Russian soldiers that have been killed. A big top Russian general has been killed. So all of a sudden, it's kind of a slap, making them wake up and seeing what's really going on. So they've got that as well. So you got the Russian people, you got the soldiers that didn't expect to have the fighting go on like it's going on. I know we're, you know, it's a brave new world where every day it's something new here that we've perhaps never encountered before. Very scary.
Yeah, it is. The Ukrainians claim that they killed 7,000 Russians as of yesterday. If that figure is true, that is more than the U.S. losses in the Afghanistan war and the Iraq war combined.
Wow.
And that was over years. This is in 1 week.
Yeah.
Now, you can see what Putin thought he was going to do. He thought he was going to do like the war in Georgia several years ago. They were in and out in 5 days, right? That's what he thought was going to happen. None of that has happened. He is now bogged down. There is no plan for this. They're making it up as they go along. And you can see most of the fighting is being done from long range. He's firing missiles, artillery rounds, devastating cities, not frontline infantry troops going door to door. No, this is slaughter from afar. I don't know what the morale of the Russian forces are there and whether that could crack. That's the other scenario, that they decide they want no part of this war. And they just rebel. And they, as Lenin said, when the Russian troops deserted the front lines in World War I, they vote with their feet.
Yeah. You know, and then the other thing is, even if you were to take control of the Ukraine and set up a puppet government, it's going to stop there. So many people that are, you ask that question about on the talking heads on TV, say, no, he's going to go after the Baltic states next. What do you think?
Well, he said that. He is very clear in his speech before the invasion that he considers all the republics that broke off after the fall of the Soviet Union to be illegitimate. And he wants to incorporate all of them back in. So not just Ukraine and Belarus, which he has shot at doing, and Kazakhstan, which is resisting but still within the realm of possibility. But no, Latvia, Lithuania, Estonia, Moldova, he wants to bring them all back in. This is what he considers his legitimate sphere of influence. And that
he also wants to go after states like Poland, possibly.
Well, Poland,
I mean, although now you're going into the NATO country. Do you think go ahead.
Exactly. So what he wants is to bring the former republics back under direct control and then have this buffer zone that would consist of the former Eastern European countries like Poland, Romania, Bulgaria, that they would become neutral. Yes, that's his team. There is not a chance in hell that that's going to happen, right? The Western alliance is stronger than ever, more united than ever. Sweden and Finland, which have been neutral during the whole Cold War, are now participating in information sharing with NATO.
Yeah, Switzerland, too.
And Switzerland was neutral in World War II against the Nazis.
Well, they had all the banking going on. They still wanted
and
to make a buck.
Do. A lot of the oligarch money is in Switzerland, which is why this has got to be freaking them out, because that's what it means when Swiss doesn't stay neutral. They are seizing oligarchs, and including Putin's, assets in Zurich banks.
Yeah.
Now, this has got to scare the stuffing out of them. So you can see they are trying very hard. That's what I think is dictating their military strategy now. They want to get this thing over with. They want to have a fait accompli. They thought it was going to take days. Now they want it to take a couple of weeks, but they want to do it and win. So they're pressing as hard as they can. I'm afraid things are going to get very ugly over there over the next few days, the next few weeks.
Yeah, we're in a very, very dangerous times. Joe Cirincione, thank you so very much. Quincy Institute, distinguished fellow. Again, his books, Nuclear Nightmares, Securing the World Before It's Too Late, and Bomb Scare, The History and Future of Nuclear Weapons. Thanks so much for being with us, Joe.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me on. Good luck to you.
Thank you very much. All right, let's take our break, and when we come back, we'll bring on the proprietor of the Barber Poll. We'll talk a little bit about the Nancy Pelosi saying yes to shutting down Russian gas purchases. And yet, with all that going on, did you see they're still trying to find Donald Trump? They want to get him, haul him into the court for financial fraud. We'll talk about that as well.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Guys, a well-groomed appearance is the first thing people will notice about you after a stop at the best barbershop in Tampa Bay. Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin is that very place, and they've specialized in the art of men's haircutting for decades. They're located in the Overcash Plaza, just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive. Andrew's Master Barbershop, open Tuesday through Saturday. Just call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
Do you have trouble with communicating, or are you drowning in clutter? You are not alone. There is a solution. This is Christiana, your clarity coach. I can help you find the clarity you need, and it's easier than you think. Whether it's your communication, your mind, or your disorganized physical space, join me Wednesdays at 5 p.m. for Clarity Corner with Christiana, and let's do this together. Remember, that's Wednesdays at 5 p.m. on Tan Talk Radio Network.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Open up a honey, it's your lover boy, me, let's knock in. Why don't you listen to me, sugar? All the kids are at the high school rockin'.
Oh, I love that. Going to get up and dance. Thank you so much for being with us here on a Friday on Freedom Works. And there's more than just what's going on right now, you know, in the Ukraine, although it's obviously capturing our attention over there. But other things are going on. They're still trying to get Donald Trump convicted of something, those Democrats, right? They're trying to find him guilty of some sort of financial hanky-panky. We got the proprietor of the Barber Poll with us, Andrew Cirincione. And Andrew, you know, we could continue to talk about the Ukraine. Everybody's talking about the Ukraine. But there is other news going on. And somehow the Democrats still trying to go after poor Donald. I don't know if they're ever going to be able to catch him. You know, all business moguls, you know, if you look, there isn't one of them that probably you couldn't say, hey, look what they were doing at some point in their lives, right?
You know, first of all, people have got to understand, Trump didn't do his own taxes. He didn't have the short form. He didn't do them on the computer. Okay, he hired big accounting firms to do all his paperwork. Am I right or wrong?
Of course you're right.
Okay.
Companies.
So how can they go after a man that pays to get his taxes done? They got to go after the accountants if there's any. It is a bunch of bull crap.
Mm-hmm.
They got nothing better to do, but actually they got a lot of better things to do.
They do.
They're so afraid that Trump is going to take over, which he already is. He already is. You wait till the November elections. There isn't one rhino going to get reelected.
I know. It's very interesting. Meantime, I don't know how much further down Joe Biden can go. He seems to be, I mean, he's a mediocrity. Let's be honest about it. He's sitting there. He's at the end of the line rather than leading the parade on the Ukrainian conflict. Even Nancy Pelosi got up and said, yeah, we got to stop buying Russian oil. I'm for it.
But 5 minutes after that, she changed her mind.
Well, she doesn't want us to open up the fracking and the drilling.
That's what I'm saying.
That's another thing.
Let's go buy from Iran, our biggest enemies.
Yeah.
You know, Paul, it amazes me right now how one man has got the world all afraid of him.
Yeah, Putin.
I mean, I'm sorry. I just listened to this guy talking and, oh, the fear and da-da-da-da. Give me a freaking break, will you? The only guy that had the guts to say what needs to be done was the senator last night, Lindsey Graham. I'm not a big fan of his, don't get me wrong, but he said what everybody's thinking. And I'm tired of hearing, oh, World War III is going to start. Let me tell you something. China's not stupid enough to start anything because their whole economy would fall apart.
Mm-hmm.
They're depending on us buying their products, okay? Where do you think their money came from?
Yeah, they abstained in the...
Do nothing.
They abstained in the condemnation of Russia with the Ukraine. They abstained. They didn't say, no, we go against the condemnation. They abstained. They're playing their cards close to the vest. And you're right. They're right. If there's one thing that Putin may listen to, it might be the guy in China.
No, you know who he would listen to? He'd listen to Trump. Let Trump give him a phone call and tell him the exact coordinates where he's sitting at, and then he'll listen to Trump. Okay?
Yeah.
Freak, all these other people are a bunch of wimpy little runts. The whole Democrat Party, this whole world is afraid of one man. What is wrong with these people? Take him out.
Well, what are you going to do with a crazy man that's got nuclear weapons? That's what's going on.
Take him out. He can't push the button when he's dead.
Mm-hmm.
Very simple, Paul.
Mm-hmm.
This whole world is afraid of one man. Everybody should have every freaking weapon they got pointed to Russia right now and tell him to get the hell out of the Ukraine, or guess what? You're done.
If he were indeed assassinated or killed or whatever, what would happen in Russia? Who would take control? I mean, it's like, we'll kill him and then we'll just worry about it later?
No, you do like Trump did again with Soleimani. Okay, look up the videos, look up the articles. Trump took out Soleimani. The next in line came up the next day, and Trump called him. And he told him, listen, you harm one American. I'm giving you the coordinates where you're sitting right now.
Okay.
Okay, and what happened? Nothing.
Yeah.
Paul, strength, power through strength, Paul. This country's got no strength. We've got a bunch of wimps in the White House, the whole administration. They can't get nothing straight in this country. And now they got innocent children and everybody getting killed because of one person, and the whole world is afraid of him. Get some guts, people.
We're talking with the proprietor of the barber pole, Andrew. Go ahead.
I think it's disgusting, Paul.
Everybody's upset.
Well, if everybody's upset, then everybody needs to do something. Oh, it's against the law to take out. Bull crap. Take him out, break the law. He's breaking the law with the war crimes he's got going on, Paul. An eye for an eye. The Bible says it.
Well, if you were sitting in the presidential chair and you had to figure out a way of doing him in, do you think how would you go about it? Would you say, look,
well,
let us assemble.
They know he's sitting in his mountain palace right now. Okay?
Okay.
He's sitting in there right now. How would you go about it? It's simple. It's very simple.
It is?
With these missiles they got now, they can hit a target within a foot of radius.
Uh-huh.
Give me a break.
Well?
They know where he is. They know what he's doing. But you know what? They're too afraid, Paul. They have no guts. Look at that moron speaking the other night on his State of the Union mess. Give me a break.
Yeah.
It's disgusting. The American people should be ashamed of themselves, and so should all of Europe.
It's a mess, isn't it, Andrew? I don't know. I mean, I'm thinking, first of all, that Putin seems to be probably not even in Moscow, right? You're saying he's in some mountaintop resort somewhere or what?
Resort. I was reading that this morning.
Oh, I see.
So they know where he is.
I wonder if he's in one of those bomb shelters, Ed, that we were talking about the other day. You know, it's got...
Well, you know what? You bomb all around the shelter.
Yeah.
And make a big crater so he can't even walk out of it. The people are too afraid, Paul. Yeah. Oh, he's going to push the button. Oh, he's going to do it. Who's going to do that? Give me a freaking break. If that's how this country was built, by people who think like this.
So you don't think, what about nuclear war with this idiot?
No nuclear war, Paul. What about? There will be no nuclear war. He's dead. He's gone. The people in Russia will cheer. Mm-hmm. And if another moron comes up behind him, you know what? He'll think twice before he talks.
I see.
They took out Putin. They'll take him out, too.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
go
Paul,
ahead,
you brought it up earlier. Putin's always been, has been lately seen at a table that's 10 foot long, and he's the only one.
It's about 30
and
foot
the
long.
Only one in the room. If you look at past leaders, not only just in Russia, but even that fat little guy in North Korea, he's always got his second and third guy command around him to make him feel good, you know, and clapping and stuff. Putin's now they think that he could be just, you know, totally paranoid. That he just won't have anybody around him. Thinks somebody inside could take him out. It could be a dangerous thing.
You're right.
It could be a dangerous thing if you miss. That's the problem.
I think you're right. And who's now?
We're not talking about.
Andrew's talking about sending a drone and blowing them over.
Yeah, listen, you can't
rocket.
It's
called
not
a,
that easy.
No, wait
Andrew.
A minute. That's called a declaration of war.
So what? You need a declaration of war to finish this guy off. That's what.
Are you telling me
Russia will not do nothing?
What would the United States do if somebody sent a drone over here and took out the White House?
They'd cheer right now.
Well, I don't know about that.
No, they wouldn't cheer.
Maybe half the population would.
Maybe that's what we need. The people to get some guts in this country to go against this stuff instead of running around like a bunch of little wimps.
Well, your guest Joe just before said it.
We don't want to turn our country into one big bomb pit in Washington, D.C., do we?
Well, listen, we have got so much armament that before a missile leaves the ground over there, we would have one up in the air to shoot it down.
I hope you're right about that.
We have got weapons that we don't even know that they have in our country, okay? I mean, enough of this being afraid. Are we going to be afraid of our lives, the rest of our lives on this earth because of one idiot?
Well, listen, I think everybody agrees that we got to get rid of Putin somehow. I don't think there's any...
What would have happened in World War II if they would have taken Hitler out before the Holocaust, huh?
What?
It never would have happened, would it?
A nuclear weapon is not a pinprick.
I don't know.
I understand. But we've got weapons to take out his nuclear weapons. You got to make the first move and get rid of them. And if the next person comes up thinks the same way, you get rid of them. That's the only way you're going to...
Things never go the way you plan.
And how many innocent people do you take out in Russia when you do that?
How many innocent people are being killed now?
Well, many more if you're starting to play with nuclear weapons.
I mean, come on, guys. Get it together. Get it together. We need to get this problem taken care of. And the only way to do it is to take him out and whoever comes up behind him. And if Russia wants a war, finish him off. Because they have nothing close to what we have. And China isn't going to do nothing, believe me.
We're talking with the proprietor of the barber pole. He's got some ideas about taking out Putin. Here's one of the thoughts I have. It's much like the Mossad. You get a bunch of people, you infiltrate Russia, you get to the Kremlin, you find Putin, and you do him in without sending some sort of a nuclear weapon or a big bomb to try and blow him up and everybody around him. You know, in other words, you do it in a stealth
Well, then do
way. That, to me, that would make
it.
More sense.
But then do it. We've got the resource to do it. Do it.
Yeah.
Don't sit here and play games, because that's all this country's doing. You got these idiots wanting to go buy fuel from Iran. They don't want to use our oil. Give me a freaking break. This whole Democrat Party should be gone. Enough is enough. I can't believe the people aren't sick of it yet.
Yeah. Well, I think people are sick of everything yet. Look at the price of gas today as opposed to a week ago. I'm afraid to look at the pump, Andrew. I'm afraid to look outside and see what the real...
Saying it right there, Paul. You're saying you're afraid.
I'm afraid of the gas prices jumping. I'm using a euphemism.
But you understand what I'm saying? You're afraid. They got you intimidated with just what they're doing.
Well, what do you think about the stealth idea?
I don't care what they use. Mm-hmm. Take them out.
Yeah.
I don't care how. I don't care if they get a fat lady to go over there and do it. Take them out.
Now, a fat lady, that might work. You know, he was always, he's known for worrying about being poisoned. And the reason is because he's poisoned other people. Then I wonder if we could poison him.
They should capture him and force feed him poison. Give me enough of this goody-goody two-shoes. You know where the good guy ends up last, Paul?
Yeah.
You got to fight.
Yeah, no, he knows nothing.
Leave in this world. And if you don't fight, you're not going to go nowhere. And this guy's taking advantage of everything because he knows the whole world is a bunch of sissies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Hey, on another side, how is your lovely wife doing?
She's doing great.
Good.
She visited with her sister all week over here, and I've been having one hell of a time with him. Back in my room at 8:30 every night.
She's been battling the virus, but she's pretty much over it, Andrew?
Oh, yeah, she's over it.
That's good.
Her hair is starting to come back a bit, and everything is fine.
Oh, great.
But I can tell you she takes out her Bible and reads every night about the end coming.
Wow. A lot of people are, I think, are starting to think about biblical thoughts right now. The closer we get to, you know, the kind of things that are going on over there, I think the more we start thinking about God again a little bit.
Maybe we need to put the fear of God in these people, huh?
Yeah.
And show them what God could do. God created this country. We were a God-fearing country. Let's show them what God can do.
Mm-hmm. If we can get back to being a God-fearing country, that would be great. Andrew, it is always a pleasure. Always appreciate your energy and passion. Thank you so very much, and I look forward to talking with you on Monday.
You got it, buddy. Have a good weekend.
And the same to you, my friend. All right, there he goes. Boy, oh boy, Ed, kind of drastic measures. And, you know, people are, I mean, look at Joe Cirincione, the way everybody's talking right now about what we should do with Putin. Let's be honest. Secretly, we wish that somehow Putin would vanish, right? We wish that he would, that somebody would do him in. We would like to think that it could be done internally by Russians. That would be probably the best deal.
I think that would probably be the only deal right now, if something were in the works and inside to get him before.
I wonder if
listen, because like I said, if they miss, he can say, "Listen, you can take me out. I'm going to take everybody out."
Yeah.
And like Joe said,
it's
hard. It's hard once you start with the nukes. It's hard to turn them off.
Yeah. Yeah, well, they tried to get Hitler, and they almost killed him. Remember the bomb under the table and all that? If you go back in history, he survived it. But
as bad as things are in Ukraine, and they're probably going to get 10 times worse, because if he starts feeling like Joe said, if he starts feeling like he's losing, he's going to really up the ante, and you're going to really see some severe things. The more the world is against that man, and the more the world would like to see somebody on the inside take him out.
Yeah.
But
or haul him before,
but
of course.
The good part is that it seems that he is by himself. And maybe he just doesn't trust anybody with good reason.
Yeah. I think that's true. I think with any dictator like that, they start mistrusting everybody around him. That was the way with Stalin, with Hitler, or you name the big ones, Mao Zedong. You know, they started mistrusting and killing them. Doing them in, the people disappeared. Anyway, let us take our break. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about these employment numbers that, believe it or not, look pretty good for us in February, and the top 10 biggest oil exporting countries.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Guys, a well-groomed appearance is the first thing people will notice about you after a stop at the best barbershop in Tampa Bay. Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin is that very place, and they've specialized in the art of men's haircutting for decades. They're located in the Overcash Plaza, just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive. Andrew's Master Barbershop, open Tuesday through Saturday. Just call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
Hey, Tantalk listeners, Senior Voice America is here. Learn what's affecting Bay Area seniors, from political to financial and health to wealth. It's right here every Monday afternoon at 4 o'clock. Your hosts, political commentator Tim Rice and financial expert Berkeley Badger, will bring current, thought-provoking subject material while taking your calls. Senior Voice America Radio, 42 years of service to mature adults and a proud member of the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back for the final segment of Freedom Works. We thank you so very much for being with us. We are here Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern on the Tantalk Radio Network, Freedom Works. We're delighted to have you. If you cannot listen to us live, Big Ed puts all our shows on podcast. You can go back, and even if you've heard the show, you want to hear it again, or you miss a show, go to OurFreedomWorks.com, O-U-R, OurFreedomWorks.com. Look at the top, click on the podcast button, and away you go. All right, well, job growth accelerated last month, February. Biggest monthly gain since July. Non-farm payrolls grew by 678,000 people. Employment rate unemployment rate 3.8%. Now that compared to 440,000 and 3.9% the month prior, January. So apparently the numbers are looking good. The question is, will inflation and shelving in the stores, will those things become a positive again? In a sign that inflation could be cooling, they say that wages barely went up in February, just 1 cent an hour, compared to estimates of more than that. So I'm still finding, going to the store, all I know is when I go to the store, there are certain products that just, for one reason or another, they're not there. One of them is animal, cat food. Still not there. There's certainly more important things to worry about these days than whether or not you've got cat food in the shelves, but it's a sign, you know. I don't know. Maybe things will be getting slowly better. The gas price is going straight up, scaring everybody to death. You never know. We'll see what happens. All right, before we get to our top 10, a very appropriate top 10, by the way, the top 10 biggest oil exporting countries, I want to ask Ed, let's do a little sports, Ed. Right now, by the way, I watched the Lightning last night get slapped around by Pittsburgh. I don't know if you watched any of that. And we talked a little bit about the baseball. Apparently, we're going to miss the first couple of days for sure. Are they just going to not? Couple of weeks now. Yeah. Is that right? Okay.
Well, they say the first. Actually, the first two series. So that amounts to about a week.
Wow. I wonder if they're going to make that up. Are they close to resolving?
No, not really.
They're not really. No. Wow. I mean, baseball normally begins in April, mm-hmm. so about a month, right? We would be normally. So yeah, they've still got some
right
time.
Right now, spring training games would be in full force right now,
mm-hmm.
pretty much.
Right. So let's say that they end this thing mid-March. They'll just shorten the spring training, I assume.
They're going to shorten the season.
Right, but I mean the spring training, they'll want to start the season as quickly as they can, right?
Right, yeah, but yeah. They'll still we'll probably lose, I don't know, 10, 15 games
yeah.
somewhere on there.
Do you think anybody cares right now about it? I imagine, except for the baseball world.
I think a lot of people are disgusted that this is going on, you know, when we just spent 2 years with COVID, and yeah. now you bunch of crybaby millionaires can't get together and
right.
get this...
No sympathy for the ballplayers, I don't think.
No, not at all.
Yeah.
I mean, how do you have sympathy for a poor guy that's making $35 million a year?
Playing baseball.
Yeah.
Exactly. All right. Time for our top 10. This is from Investopedia. These are the top 10 oil exporting countries. Oil, by the way, is the largest exported product in the world. Did you know that?
Mm-hmm.
In 2019, crude petroleum accounted for 5.4% of all global trade, way above whatever is in second place. Okay, so here we go, number 10. Norway exported $27 billion worth of oil in 2019, as an example. That's about 2.5% of the global oil trade. Number nine is Mexico, ninth largest oil exporter. Its exports worth about $37 billion, about 3.4% of the global total. Number eight. I wouldn't have known this one. Nigeria. Mm. Nigeria. It's also Africa's most populous country and eighth largest oil exporter. They exported almost $39 billion worth of oil last time they checked. Number seven. The United States is number seven. The U.S. is the seventh largest, exports over $62 billion worth of oil, about 5.7% of all global oil exports. Number six, our neighbor to the north, Canada. The $68 billion worth of oil it exported comprises about 6.25% of the total global export. Number five, Iraq. Yes, indeed. All kinds of oil under those sandy places. Let's see. They exported about 6.34% of all oil exports. Number four, Kuwait, another sand jockey place. Given its small size, very impressive that they're number four. 7.6% of all global oil exports. Number three, Russia. It accounted for about 10.5% of all global oil exports the last time they checked. It's about $115 billion. So if we stop taking their oil, good for us. Number two, Saudi Arabia. Boy, they're going to jump right now if mm-hmm. we shut down our purchases from Russia. Let's see. 11.5% of all global oil exports is what is going on with Saudi Arabia. All right, here we go. Ed, do you have any idea? It ain't Russia, it ain't the United States, and it ain't Saudi Arabia. Who do you think is number one?
Venezuela?
I think that's a very good guess, but it's not correct. Mm. It's technically an area right around Saudi Arabia, the UAR, the United Arab Emirates.
Yeah.
Not Saudi Arabia. A small country. About the size of South Carolina. Mm-hmm. Did you know that?
Yeah.
Very small. They exported $176 billion worth of oil the last time we checked. That's about 16%.
Wow.
16% of all global oil export. But listen to this. Despite being the largest exporter, they are only the seventh largest producer. They're only the seventh largest producer. So wow. That means that they don't keep. They, right. they keep hardly any of their oil.
A small place.
Yeah, they don't need to. They produce 3.8 million barrels per day, approximately. Okay.
Gee, to think if we got people to quit buying Russian oil, and we upped our production and sold them ours, we could start using that money to work on some of that debt off that.
You got it, baby.
Drill, baby, drill.
That's what we want, right? Thanks so much for listening to us. Freedom Works. We will be back on Monday. Have a great weekend.
WTAN, Clearwater.
FM 106.1.
WDCF, Dade City.
FM 102.3.
WZHR, Zephyr Hill.